Welcome back to Matt Flynn, Director. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, before we can begin to heal the country, before we can begin to unite the country and come together with our fellow Americans, I think we have to understand the depths of the problem. There was a poll, a very reputable national poll, that was just released. It was taken between June 10 and June 13. Then they compiled the data and had the notes and all that. It had 1,541 respondents. The margin of error was 2.9%. That's a very low margin of error. That means that if something's at 40%, it could be 2.9% higher than that. In other words, 42.9, or it could be 2.9% lower. But that's a pretty restricted range. And here's what it showed. Here's what it showed. 55% of Democrats and 53% of Republicans think the country, our country, will, quote, likely, end quote, not remain a democracy someday. Think about that. More than half of Democrats and half of Republicans think that the United States likely will not remain a democracy someday. If you include independents and people that don't identify their party, that comes down to 49% of all respondents. So independents are a little more optimistic, and people who didn't identify their parties, a little more optimistic. 49% of it still believed it, that it was likely that we won't remain a democracy. 25% said it was unlikely. 25% said they weren't sure. So we're split. What's much more ominous in my view, and we've got to understand the problem before we unite as fellow Americans and friends, much more ominous is the following. A majority of Republicans and Democrats, a majority of all Republicans and all Democrats in this country, describe the other party as, quote, out of touch with reality, end quote, quote, a threat to America, end quote, quote, immoral, end quote, and quote, a threat to me personally, end quote. I mean, that's extraordinary. A majority of Republicans and Democrats think the other party is out of touch with reality, a threat to America, immoral, and a threat to them personally. There's a minority, a large minority. So basically, this is a split. When I say a majority thought those things, it's in the low 50s. Somewhere in the high 40s, a large minority of people say the other party is well-meaning and not all that different from me. That's very favorable. That's helpful. But how do we get to the point where half of the country, a little more, thinks that we are likely not going to remain a democracy and the other party is immoral and a threat? Here's another ominous statistic from that poll. Only 50% of the country, only half of the country, said they were willing to rule out using, quote, physical violence, end quote, and, quote, taking up arms against the government, end quote, to protect the country from, quote, radical extremists, end quote. Think about that. Only half the country said they'd rule that out. Much of the other half had a different point of view. Of the other half, 25% said that violence was in fact justified. And 33% of Trump voters said it was justified. Let me go over that again real quick. Only about half of the country said they would rule it out, using physical violence and taking up arms against our own government to protect the country from whatever they thought, right or left, were radical extremists. In fact, 25% of the country said that it was justified. The 50 I'm talking about just said that they wouldn't rule it out. 25% said, let's do it. And of these people, 33% of Trump voters said that. One in three. one in three Trump voters. Now, remember something. There were a lot of mainstream Republicans who voted for Trump. They didn't like Trump, didn't support Trump, but they couldn't vote for Democrats. They voted for Trump. But 33% of all of them said they would take up arms, and it was justified. They would take up arms, and it was justified. Now, how do you negotiate with that? Now, let me give you some good news from history. I think this too shall pass, but my focus is entirely on uniting this country, uniting our fellow Americans, and not increasing this division. And on this show, when I point out some of the very, very bad things that are being done by Trump and in the name of Trump, it's precisely to bring them to your attention so you can respond peacefully and in the political process. But here's the lesson from history, and it's extraordinary. I've mentioned this a few times in the past, but it's worth thinking about. I think they started the polling in the Roosevelt era, but with every president since Roosevelt, they've done a poll that says, do you think the president should be removed immediately, impeached and convicted and removed from office? Every president, whether you think the ones I'm about to list are good or bad, the ones I think are good, Franklin Roosevelt, Harry Truman, John F. Kennedy, Jimmy Carter, Bill Clinton, Barack Obama, Joe Biden, about 30% of the people thought that they should be removed immediately. Immediately, even Roosevelt in the middle of the Second World War, immediately impeached and convicted. And about 30% felt the same way about Eisenhower, Reagan, Nixon, Gerald Ford, George H.W. Bush, George W. Bush, and Trump. The ranges are very interesting. The president that had the highest percentage of people he thought should be removed immediately, forget giving any reasons, just remove them, was Barack Obama. And that obviously, to me, had some kind of racial overtone to it. The one with the lowest percentage, the one the fewest people, relatively speaking, wanted to see removed immediately, was Bill Clinton, right in the middle of the impeachment. Bill Clinton, they like Bill Clinton. But the point I'm getting at is roughly 30% of any president they want out of there. So when people say we would use force against the government or whatever, that's also another way of saying that I want to overturn the government no matter what, and forget due process and forget any impeachable offense, just get them out of there. There's earlier support for some of this in our history. During the Revolutionary War, you're all familiar with George Washington, you're all familiar with Alexander Hamilton, Madison, Jefferson, all of them, Adams, Benjamin Franklin, great patriots who put our country together. If you had taken a poll, and they didn't have polls back then, by the way. They didn't have polls, never heard of polls, hadn't invented polls. But if you had done a poll, went back in time and did it, well over half of the people in the colonies were perfectly content to stay under the rule of England, as long as certain irritants were removed, the Stamp Act and the, you know, tax on tea and that, and that kind of thing. Forcing people to house British soldiers in their homes and feed them, impressing them at sea. The British Navy had trouble getting sailors because they were in for a long time. Listen, in Tsarist Russia under Peter the Great, if you were drafted in the Russian army, you were drafted for 25 years. And, you know, when we were drafted during Vietnam, the guys, it was 2 years. Maybe you'd serve three or four if you had some special schooling. How would you like to say, oh, here's a draft notice, 25 years? Well, in the British Navy, it wasn't 25 years, but it was a long time. Very harsh conditions, a lot of disease, bad food. The captain was like a god. He could kill the sailors. He could keelhaul them, drag them under the ship for small offenses, and then keep them underwater and they drown. So a lot of guys didn't want to go in there. And that's one Navy I wouldn't have gotten in. I was in our Navy. proud to do it. I wouldn't have gone in the British Navy. So what did they do? They'd come on a colonial ship, and they would just grab people off, seamen. They'd arrest them and make them British soldiers for years, sailors. Or they go into the taverns in Britain, and they drag drunks out and make them sailors. That's how pathetic it was. Anyway, even if that kind of stuff had been gotten rid of, and Britain promised to get rid of all that. Well, great. You know, these are largely English people, and so why not? A majority didn't want to go through with the Revolutionary War, didn't support it. But great patriots did, and then we got our present country. In 1860, when Abraham Lincoln was elected, people didn't want to go to war with the South. They did not think it was worthwhile to kill Southerners simply to get rid of slavery and simply to unite the country. And Abraham Lincoln in 1864 didn't think he'd get reelected. And he wrote a letter saying, I may not be reelected, but I did the right thing. In 1864 election, Abraham Lincoln did not get the electoral votes of New Jersey. He was sly old Lincoln, got the electoral votes of Alabama and Mississippi because they had seceded, and he just appointed people who gave him the electoral votes. He was quite a politician, let me tell you something. The point is that if there had been a poll in 1864, the majority of people would have said, hey, let's have peace with the South. They want slavery, the hell with them. The heck with the South. We're the mercantile part. We'll buy raw materials from them. It took great leaders. And that sentiment persists. 30% of the people, as we speak, want to get rid of Biden. And 30% of the people want to get rid of Trump. And 30% of the people, actually 32, Obama, and so on. So cheer up. But these statistics are compelling. And they're bothersome. And I want to say that we want to work with Republicans who are in good faith, who are opposed to violence, stand tall for America against Vladimir Putin, and are patriots. And there are many of them. I knew a lot of them in the Navy. I reach out to them. Going to a break. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Want to be a hero, well, just follow me. If you want to be a hero, well, just follow me.